on.
This way and this way? Okay, there we go. My name is Jan, I'm an addict.
Oh, I just want to go.
Y'all are a pretty intimidating crowd. I guess I should be grateful this isn't a business meeting. You know, then I really would leave or get hanged, I don't know which.
Get elected.
I get elected. Same thing. No. I am one of those trusted servants, and I'm very grateful. I don't know. It's kind of, do I want to get up here and am I going to freeze or am I going to throw up? I'm not sure which yet. Either way, you're going to help me out, right? Y'all are going to ignore it. Okay. I am very honored to be up here with y'all tonight. Thanks to God and this program. I have been given the gift of recovery since July 12th of 1983. And thank you, and I also hope you are clapping for yourselves because, it's with y'all, and it's because of Narcotics Anonymous. This is special for me because I have been coming to the World Convention. I started in Chicago, and and as a matter of fact, that kind of sealed my fate after I got back, as a lot of people do from these world conventions. There was no doubt of where my recovery was and who was going to help me, and which I think is real appropriate. Our theme, the journey continues, because it is because of y'all that there even is a journey, and it's because of a lot of you that not just is there a journey, but it's a good one. It's a lot of fun. I guess I thought when I cleaned up that, I really didn't know a whole lot about people in these rooms when I cleaned up, except you never used again. You smoked a lot of cigarettes and you drank a lot of coffee. That was it. My mother had cleaned up 2 years before I did, and what I had seen is the quality of her life go up while the quality of mine went down. And it is nice to be a part of a family that's in recovery. Since I'm sharing the podium, it's nice. We're not going to probably spend a lot of time talking about the way it was, and instead talk about that journey. I will tell you that really, really, believe me, you think you're in a hurry. I'm really dying to get out of here. I can call it even right now. It's been wonderful. Your turn, Hamilton. Thank you very much. I really didn't think that when I got here, I really wasn't sure if I belonged in Narcotics Anonymous. Not because I didn't think that I had a problem. I just really didn't think that I had a serious drug problem. And really I had that misconception that if you're an addict, that means that you do two things. You use heroin and you use a needle, period. That is it. And I had used heroin once and couldn't get off the couch. And ended up doing some other things instead that did require getting off the couch. That's not, wait a minute. You're really jumping to conclusions. Y'all are right about this crap. Where was I? Okay. I'm probably as red as this is by now. I really wasn't sure. I figured at best maybe I was like a semi-addict or something. I don't know. Because I came into this fellowship, I still had a car, I had a home, I had a job, I had a lot of things, I had a lot of toys. I came in not because of where my addiction had taken me, I came in because of where it was taking me. Like I said, I was fortunate enough to see people that were in recovery, and I was fortunate to see that maybe I didn't have to lose it all, and I could see the direction I was going. And also, I had a God that loved me that just said, maybe now's the time or something. I don't know. Looking back, I don't think I had a whole lot to do with it. A lot of the reason, and I won't talk about my using except that I know it's important for me to remember why the drugs were so important to me. And it's because it's the same issue that as this journey continues, these are the same issues that I've got to learn to deal with and that I've got to talk about and find solutions to. And a lot of those, of course, were, you know, I didn't really ever know that I didn't have any self-esteem. You know, I knew that I never did feel good, or I didn't feel complete, you know, and I never did measure up to y'all. And from an early age, I started using or looking for something outside of there, and something or someone or a place, whatever, that was going to complete that cycle, or, you know, that was going to make it all fit. And I used everything from horses. I was big on that, and you know, men and geographical cures. You know, having a mother that was also in an active addiction. You know, she would take us up and go. I was raised pretty well off, you know, as growing up. I don't remember ever being denied anything because of money. I remember just not ever fitting. And maybe that's grateful, but I know a lot of times, although sometimes I still have doubts about money, well, it'll just make me happy if I can just shop until I drop. That'll do it. Let's go. This is a great town for shopping. Have you noticed it? This is fun. This is good. Each hotel has its own. Yeah, right there. You know, when I did clean up finally, it was because I was very tired. You know, I didn't know as a child, you know, I really didn't know enough to waltz up to the dinner table and say, thank you for the new car, but you're not meeting my emotional needs. You know, that topic just never came up at the breakfast table. You know, I didn't know that. I didn't know what was wrong. You know, Sunday today, I still don't know what's wrong. I know what's wrong right now, but and here. You know, when I got here, I really wanted just two things. I wanted to, of course, not use, and I wanted to be able to go to sleep at night. You know, I did end up, I of course, never became an addict. Instead, I just freebased. Right, but I wasn't an addict. You know, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind. Somebody else's mind. I guess it's I'm glad that I made it here, not just because of all of the cocaine I did, but I think I smoked an awful lot of paint and plaster and stuff when I was out there. And if you're a freelancer, you know how much time you spend on your hands and knees, you know, and you're not praying, you know. Praying should come easy to us now, you know, there's no doubt. When they said get on your knees, I'm looking for the rock, you know. I'm looking. I figure that it's there. When I got here, I had a blazing 3 days when I met my future husband, who had one day. It was great. It was great. It was a marriage made in treatment. Yeah. You know, and I mention that now because I survived it, he survived it, the marriage didn't survive it. But, you know, it is a part of my recovery, and it is a part of what I learned. Of course, keep in mind, when I met him, I was also just letting go of the other one, okay, that we usually come in with. And we like to keep things nearby is what I've always. We like to keep it real close because we want that. And when I came in, you know, I was letting go of this one because he wouldn't clean up, you know, and I knew that I had to. And it was real rough. At first, to be honest, I wasn't sure which was harder, kicking dope or kicking that man, you know, and kicking both of them was not a lot of fun. I did, you know, I started going to meetings. I was scared. I really did, when I cleaned up, I didn't want to repeat, okay, and I had not, oddly enough, I had never, ever heard of a relapse. I thought that you better be ready when you came in this room because you only got one chance at it and you were here to stay, period. You know, that was good for me. You know, that's just, well, it'd be nice if it worked for all of us. You know, but that's just, and maybe that was better for me because I had never heard of a relapse. My mother had not had one, and I just didn't know that you had a second chance. So I figured, boy, what I did is I stayed out there until I almost died because I thought, well, you want to be ready when you get here. you know, when I got here and I really wasn't too pleased, I didn't want to be here. I was scared that I had just given up every bit of fun and all the good times out there. Tonight is obviously proving that wrong. And if you're here for your first convention, hang on, because it's a little fun, I guess. When I cleaned up, I did have a job, like I said, and money I had never really had to worry about. My biggest problem was that I had always been taken care of, okay, by someone. That's the way I was raised. You know, I was raised in a house where, of course, my mother didn't work, and working for me was going to be an option, you know, or so I thought at the time. That was before I got a sponsor. Yeah, the good old days. Anyway, and at the time I didn't have a whole lot of skills. I had gone to college, but I really majored in partying, you know, and in having a real good time. And I have a real nice degree that I really haven't ever done anything with because I really don't know what it's all about. I'm not sure how I got it. And, you know, it's in broadcasting and film arts, and folks, I can barely load my camera, you know. You know, I don't know. I was busy. I still have other people on my camera, and I send my VCR to the shop every time it breaks, too. When I first got a sponsor, you know, and they told me to pick someone that had something that I wanted, she had 5 years, and I wanted 5 years right then and there. You know, and that was it, and I knew nothing else about her. Okay, and that woman more or less kind of raised me for the next 5 years. Like I said, I was used to, oh, thank you. That helps a lot. When I got, I guess about 2 months clean, is 2 or 3 months clean, I got the sponsor, and I didn't get her voluntarily. I was given to her by some people in this group that I was going to every day at noon. I was doing fine, I thought. And they thought otherwise. And they put me together with this woman that I knew nothing about. And I'm grateful that I didn't wait. It was after that point that I found out that we had a lot of similarities, you know. And she showed me the steps. And she showed me about womanhood and being a female and being a woman. When I came in, and most of the time that I was out using, you know, I started using, I guess, when I was about 13 or 14, I don't remember, you know, but having a mother that also had an active addiction, bless her heart, she taught me how to shop and travel, but she never really taught me anything about womanhood, you know, and when I'm just of the opinion a lot of times that we come in, we're not really, an addict is really not either male or female, an addict's just an addict, you know, and a lot of times, you know, that part of sexuality really doesn't matter except for a few things, you know, but it has nothing to do with, you know, with understanding what it is to be a woman. Fortunately, I had a sponsor that I considered very feminine and that, you know, it was a priority of hers to be a woman first, you know. That is what she is and that is what she had learned to be. And she was willing to help me and I was willing to learn. I like what y'all said, you know, the first word, it was kind of intimidating, you know, every time they said something, y'all said something, they said something, y'all said something, when we were doing all the readings up here, and I'm grateful that we're not still doing that part of it. Don't come, oh no, please don't contradict. I might agree. But that we part, I remember I waltzed in when I had just gotten this sponsor, and I waltzed into this woman that I really respected, this nurse that had, you know, she was tough, in my opinion, and she was making it, and she had several years, and I told her, you know, what I was doing in my group, and, you know, and what I was doing over here, and what I was doing in this beautiful relationship that God had created and everything, and the counselor is sanctioned and all that good stuff, and I said, oh, and by the way, you know, I got a sponsor, and she said, we took bets on how long it was going to take you to notice what the first word of the first step was, we. She said, I'm impressed. It only took you 2 months. And she said, perhaps now you can get started in this program. And I really didn't like that, you know. I really thought, you know, I used to like this woman. She turned out to be very rude. She was right. It is we, you know, and that is when probably my journey did begin. because she took me through the steps one at a time. The first year, probably, I spent more time not really applying the steps, just trying to keep my head above water, as so many of us do, and just practicing, so that, as she put it, when it hits the fan, you'll know what page it's on, because she said, you're probably not going to do a whole lot of it the first year. Just get through. She always used to tell me, don't worry about looking graceful when you do this. We'll do graceful in your second year. Just get through it. It seems like the first year I really didn't have a whole lot of, for me that first year was a little bit of grace. Once I finally got over that old boyfriend and I'm settling into my new happy relationship, thanks for, you know it was about to happen, don't you? You know it didn't stay rosy forever. I guess when I had about a year is when things started getting rough, because the man that I had chosen, in this program, that romantic idea, and we're going to spend the rest of our lives happy and recovering with the white picket fence and everything, I found out he had been shooting heroin for quite a while, and that was very difficult. That was the first of these dreams that I have the dreams that, and like I said, I had that got shattered. I've since learned that not to be so scared when my dreams kind of go awry, because I have been around here long enough to know that gods are 10 times better, and had I settled for less, I would still be out there probably. I had friends, I had a sponsor, and I had a foundation. When I had gotten into this relationship early on, a man came up to me that had 7 years, and he said, I'll tell you something. He knew what was happening. He said, I'll make a suggestion, or I want to suggest something to you. He said, chances are you didn't come into this program, well, maybe you did, to get a relationship. I have a feeling that's not been a problem of yours, but ours. But correct me if I'm wrong, you probably have had trouble cleaning up or staying off of dope. And he said, if you will pick a priority right now, you will someday have it all. And he said, that's all you got to do right now. And he said, if he's the priority, I'm not saying that's wrong, go for it. But just don't be surprised if both of them aren't going to make it. You probably won't come out of your first year with both of them. And I didn't like that. So much of what we hear the first year, how much of it do we like? How much of it do we like? But he was right. I've heard that. It's one of those things that, a lot of times in this program, we hear those things that go straight through you. They just nail you. And that was one of those things. I knew he was right. That's when I knew that I had turned to this man immediately when you took my drugs away. I put that down and I picked this up. And I didn't like that at all either. And I knew, although I was not willing to give him up, I also knew. A lot of times I will do things in recovery, and I know, but I'll do it anyway. a lot of times I have a choice, and as long as I'm willing to accept the responsibility and the consequences of that choice, it's my choice. So I knew. I have a hard time with the girls I sponsor, with people in the program, telling them, if you get into a relationship, you will get loaded, because that is not my experience. It nearly killed me, emotional-wise, and actually drugs were not an option. It's scarier. Suicide was more of an option in the coming years. Total oblivion. I knew the drugs weren't going to get me out of this pain. I knew it. There was no doubt in my mind. For several years, this went on, of a game of not just leaving my addiction behind, but now being in the midst of someone else's addiction. This program, this program, a lot of times, as we all do, I work this program when it gets tough, and this is what has pulled me through more than once. It is that journey. There came a time when that 11th step that talks about knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry it out. You know, a few minutes ago, before I got up here, I was calling on that exact same power. It's kind of like, I know what's best for me. I know what's God's will for me. I can't do it. I cannot do it. And then I'm realizing, and I had a sponsor that said, there's a power out there that can do it. You know, I will tell you that today, you know, thanks to this program, eventually, I guess it's been about a year and a half ago that, you know, I did survive the divorce and leaving that relationship behind and trusting that something else was better for me. I also have learned what it is to work not just one job but two jobs. I guess because I like to spend two incomes. That makes sense. That responsible, productive member of society, not only was that a goal of mine, but that has become slowly realized over the years. It's not just a matter of I let go of my father's money, even though I didn't want to. The biggest gift he gave to me is when I sat down one time with him and he was worried about my sister. She was pulling a stunt instead of me for a change. And I said, God, I just really, this is in recovery, and I said, God, I just really hate that you have to worry about me and about us like that. And he looked at me and he said, honey, I quit worrying about you several years ago. I never have to worry about you again. I'm so proud of you and you're doing just fine. And this was a man that had been just my banker. I didn't know who this guy was, except that I was terrified of him. He was my father. You know, and it has been in recovery that I have gotten to know that man. Not only have I gotten to know him, I've gotten to argue with him. I've gotten mad at him. You know, I just want to wring his little neck sometimes. And that's because of this program. Not that I want to wring his neck, but maybe it's because of the program I did wring his neck. While this journey has not been easy, it has. A lot of times I tell people in my home group, sometimes the only difference between me being clean 7 years and someone being clean 7 days is I just didn't leave. You know, I didn't leave and I didn't quit. I am a real firm believer of that thing that we say, don't give up 5 minutes before the miracle. Because there are so many times. Not only have there been so many times I wanted to quit, but there's been so many miracles. You know, you're looking at a girl that was so scared, you know, when she was 13 years old and it was terrified of the world, you know. And thanks to this program, you know, I live by myself now. Well, with my dog, my big dog. There's a few things I'm still a bit worried about. But, no, I'm not going to even say that. Okay. No, I can't. I'm like, hey. Thank you, dog. Yeah, listen. Y'all are good. Oh, yeah. That's why I have a sponsor. Now she's going to want me to call her. I said I had one, didn't I call her, did I? There is a difference. Anyway, also the beauty of sharing this podium is that really, that I'm not going to talk very much longer because Hamilton's going to come up here next. You know, it's an honor of being asked to come up here and that I feel so grateful that... you know, when I got here, I really didn't want to be here. It wasn't that it was that bad to be here. It's just kind of like, well, this isn't really what I wanted to do when I grew up. I can think of a lot of other things. I wanted the fast life, the glamorous life, the free life. I wanted the excitement. You know, and guess what? It's here. It's here. Go ahead, play it for yourself. What the heck? I don't mind. Y'all clap all you want because that gives me a chance to get my knees to stop shaking anyway. So just keep at it. You know, I am... I'm getting tickled now. The like I said, when I got here, the only two things that I wanted was to quit using and to get a good night's sleep. I really had no idea the quality of friends that I was going to meet in here. When I first got here, I thought that there was one thing wrong with this program. Y'all hugged far too much, okay? I really was not into that, okay? You know, being, like I said, you know, I didn't know a whole lot about sexuality or about womanhood when I got here, but, you know, hugs were going to lead to something, and it's kind of like, oh, my God, here we go again, you know. And, you know, motives and all this stuff. And besides, I really didn't figure you meant it, because when I got here, I really could not love you. I barely even liked you. I didn't know you, you know, and it's kind of like I had never spent the time to get to know anybody. Not anybody. You know, I was too busy getting high and looking for out there. I didn't know, and I couldn't tell y'all. I have no idea how to start loving you, or I have no idea how to even start liking you. And I didn't know how to tell that. You know, I really didn't like the hugs when I got here. I would have preferred a handshake. You know, I'm grateful today y'all didn't let me shake hands. I don't know when it happened, but I do know one of the biggest gifts that I've been received the last couple of years, and I think it was during the awful time when my friends and family were around me, when I did finally come out of this relationship that I hung on to for most of my recovering years, and I had to leave the home that I had lived in the first 5 years of recovery. I had to leave my home group that I had. There was an awful lot of closings about a year and a half ago, a couple of years ago, and it was very scary. And all I know is that somewhere after that time, not only do I feel more comfortable accepting a hug from you, I love it. You know, I'm learning how to reach out and how to love you and to like you, and I mean it. And I never thought that would happen. I just never thought it would happen. I thought that I'd still be Narcotics Anonymous and I'd still be here, and yes, you know, we'll still go to parties and we'll have these little hugs. But I really, you know, it's one of those things that I just kept doing it, and I never really thought that, you know, take the action and you'll feel like it later. I didn't know that would happen, and it has. You know, the warmth that I have felt from you, from my friends tonight, that as much kidding as they gave me at dinner time before we got up here tonight, and the things that they said they were going to do, so far nothing's come flying over from the side, so I think we're okay. Seriously, the support and the love that even though I don't know you, and no matter what's said up here or how it has gone, it was going to be okay. When I got up here, I said, I don't know what to say. You know, I was telling, you know, someone before the meeting started, I have no idea what to say. And they said, just tell them how glad you are to be here. Because I never thought I would want to be here. I knew I had to be in Narcotics Anonymous. I knew it was good for me. But never in my wildest dreams did I think I would fit so perfectly and be so happy here with y'all. And I don't know why, but I'm not going to question it. I'm just real grateful. And thank you for inviting me to share.